We all know that Purim is celebrated in Shushan and in Yerushalayim and certain cities on the 15th of Adar, and the rest of the world is observed on the 14th of Adar. And the Gemara says in the first parak in Megillah, Lesa shel zeh bezeh v'shel zeh bezeh. Wherever you live, whether you live in Yerushalayim or in New York, there's an Issa Hesped v'tainis on both days, on the 14th and the 15th of Adar. What it seems to imply is, thank you very much, that really both days are Purim. And the Issa Hesped v'tainis is because both days are Purim. The only question is, let's say you have 7 days of Pesach, so when do you have the Seder? So you don't say, well, all 7 days are Pesach, so you can have the Seder whenever you want. And Seder has to be the first night, not in the daytime. And not on the middle of Chol HaMoed. Let's say Rosh Hashanah is for 24 hours, but the shofar has to be blown in the daytime. You can't blow the shofar at nighttime. So here also, both days are Purim. But the only question is, depending on which city you sit in, when do you fulfill the mitzvahs of Purim? But the Issa Hesped V'tainis applies on any day that happens to be Purim. So both of the days are Purim. When you have a Shana Mu'beres, a leap year, and you have 2 months that are Purim, so we Paskin and Shulchan Aruch like the opinion that all 4 days are Purim. The 14th and the 15th of Adar Rishon and the 14th and the 15th of Adar Sheni. There are 4 days that are Purim. You just have to determine which of the 4 days that you fulfill your mitzvahs. And in the days of the Tanaim, there was a dispute. So one Tana was of the opinion that it's preferable to observe Purim in Adar Rishon. Because if it's this is Purim and that's Purim, it says, Riz Magdim la mitzvahs, Eim Avir na la mitzvahs. So do the mitzvahs as soon as possible. We don't follow that opinion. We follow the other view, that mismach gula legula odif, it's preferable to have Purim closer to Pesach, so we observe Purim and Adar Sheni. But really, both months are considered Adar, and all 4 days are really Purim. That's why in Shulchan Aruch there is a dispute. If a person has yahrzeit in the month of Adar, someone passed away in Hashanah Pshuta in a year that there's only one Adar, and then you observe yahrzeit in Hashanah Mu'beres. My father died on Ches Adar in Hashanah Pshuta, and this year is the Shana Mu'beres, so when does one observe Yahrzeit? So the Ramah recommends he should observe both months. Why both months? So the Vilna Gaon says, not because it's a Safek, where the more correct is Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni. No, they're both Betoras Vaday, not Betoras Safek, because both are really Ador. And apparently, Min HaShemayim, not apparently, possibly Min HaShemayim, that day that the person died is a Yom HaDin for him. He was judged on that day, or it's a Yom HaDin for the whole family. The family lost this beloved relative. So we're afraid that maybe it's again a Yom HaDin this year, either Yom HaDin for the family, Yom HaDin for the Nifter. So that's why one should recite Kaddish and observe a Tainus, those who fast on a Yahrzeit, on both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, Betoras Vaday, not Betoras Safek. That's what the Vilna Gaon explains. In the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim introduced many additional Yamim Tovim, the only two that are left from the whole series of Yamim Tovim, Achanik and Purim. All the others only had to do with the second Beis HaMikdash, and after it was destroyed, they were no longer relevant. And these two, Achanik and Purim, are not only relevant to the second Beis HaMikdash, they were relevant to the third Beis HaMikdash as well. What's the connection? Achanik had to do with the second Beis HaMikdash. What did Purim have to do with the second Beis HaMikdash? So the Novi Yirmiyah admonishes Bnei Yisrael. Yirmiyah Novi was saying a nevuah before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and then he was a Novi in Bavel as well. So he tells Bnei Yisrael the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed because of their sins. I made a covenant, I made a bris with your forefathers at Har Sinai, and they violated the covenant, so the bris is off, so you have no right to be in Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to have to make v'charati itchem bris chadoshim, we'll have to make a new krisis bris. That's what the Christians refer to their Gospels as the Bris HaHadosha. They got the expression for the Novi Yirmiyah. The Novi says you're going to have to make a new Krisis Bris with the Jewish people. And this Bris will be engraved on your hearts. This time you won't be able to shake it off. You won't be able to violate it, but you won't be able to break the Bris. The covenant will be binding even if you violate it. It's going to be in your blood. It's going to be engraved on your hearts. And this will enable you to enter Eretz Yisrael the second time around and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So it's that, that's what we are basically celebrating on Purim. The Gemara has a tradition in connection with the Pasuk in Megillah says, Tekimu v'kiblu, that it's a reference to Kimu v'shikiblu kvar. There was a second Kabbalah HaTorah, that at Har Sinai, the Jewish people were offered the Torah. So they said, what does it say? So Moshe Rabbeinu told them the whole Torah Shebichsav. So it's a rosy picture. Shabbos sounds very easy. Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha, very easy. Then the Rabban Shalom said, but I have a Torah Shabbat Peh also. So he tells him every fine letter in the Mishnah Berurah, and everything Rabbi Rubiat Sefer about the Lamates of his Malachas, and everything in the Bad Hashulf Mahilchas Nida. Whoa! That's so complicated. The Bnei Yisrael said, no, thank you, we don't want it. So the Gemara has a tradition, Kof Aleim Harki Gigs. The Rabban Shalom forced the Torah Shabbat Peh on us. We accepted the Torah Shabbat Beratzen, because that's not so difficult to observe, but the Torah Shabbat Peh we didn't want to accept. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced it upon us. And then, after the Nes Purim, the Ahav HaSanez, but they also accepted the Torah Shabbat Peh again, Beratzen. So we celebrate Purim as the Yontav of reaccepting. It's the Yontav of Kabbalah's Torah Shabbat Peh. Shavuos is the Yontav of Kabbalah's Torah Shabbat Peh. And Purim is the Yontav when we celebrate the accepting of the Torah Shabbat Peh Beratzen. And that's perhaps the reason why, that's how the Goyim had the Girsa and the Gemara. From all of the Yamim Tovim in the Megillah Steinis, there's a book that was written in the days of the Baal Sheni that lists off, listen here, Sivan Tammuz, it goes in order of the Jewish calendar, and lists off all the additional holidays that were instituted Bizman Baal Sheni, before the days of the Tanoim. So from all of the Yamim Tovim in the Megillah Steinis, the only Yontav that has a Chiyav Suda is Purim. Today we only have two left. We only have Chanukah and Purim. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch is, how come there's a contrast? How come on Chanukah there's no mitzvah to have a Suda, and on Purim there is? But it's a bigger question of Chanukah versus Purim. From all the 30 Yamim Tovim, 30 Samad Yamim Tovim in the Megillah time, every month in Adonishtik there was another Yontif, and a lot of times it was a Yontif for 7 days, for 8 days, for 3 days. Half the year was they were celebrating. They left out Tachnun, they left out Hesped V'Tainis. From all the Yamim Tovim, the only one and only Yontav that has a Chiyav Suda is Purim. So the Gaonim have a Girsa in the Gemara, slightly different from the way we have. The Gemara says, all the Tanoim agree that on Shavuos you have to have an elaborate meal because Yom Shinitna B'Torah. The Kovid Kabbalah Satorah, it says, V'yachzu Salakim V'yochlu V'yishto, the Kovid Kabbalah Satorah, you have to have an elaborate meal. So the Girsa Sagonim was that Purim is the same. Purim is also Yom Kabbalah Satorah, just like Shavuos. And our Gemara doesn't just says Purim also there's a chiyuv to have an elaborate meal. It doesn't give this explanation. Just says because it says in the Megillah, but the Girsa Sagonim is that Shavuos and Purim are both the same Yom Shenitnim Batur. So Purim we really are celebrating the Sudas Purim is a giveaway that we are really celebrating Kabbalah Satorah. And that Kabbalah Satorah is what enabled us to enter Eretz Yisrael the second time around after the Golas bubble was over and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the Bris HaChadosha. That is the Bris HaChadosha. And it was completed in Nehemiah. It's not really the book of Nehemiah. It's Ezra Nehemiah's one sefer in the Tanakh, the 24th Svarim. We have a Christian Bible. So in the Christian Bible, they divided the Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Melacham Aleph, Melacham Beis, Dirah Yom Aleph, Dirah Yom Beis, and they divided Ezra Nehemiah into two books. And in our case, HaKadosh, as in Nehemiah is one book. The Gemara gives a whole explanation of why he didn't deserve. Now, Nehemiah didn't deserve that his sefer should be a separate sefer. So in the half a book of Nehemiah, it says there that soon after they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash and it was functioning, so the representatives of all of the Shvatim, of all of the tribes, gathered together in the Beis HaMikdash, and they all signed a contract, they all signed an agreement, and then they're representing all of the Shvatim. That's called the Bris Amana, that they will observe all of God's mitzvahs, and that's the fulfillment of the prophecy that the Navi Yirmiyah said, V'charati etchem Bris Chadoshim. So the Bris Chadoshim began with the Kabbalah Satorah, came of the Kibbul, with the Kabbalah Satorah on the occasion of the Nes Purim, and then it was completed with the Bris Amana that they signed, and the Nesiim signed in the Beis HaMikdash. We have the practice, we only say Al HaNisim on that day on which we fulfill the mitzvahs of Purim. Others have the practice, very few, others have the practice that whenever it's Purim, they say Al HaNisim, so they say Al HaNisim both days, both Yudalt as well. If you have a Shana Moberes, you really have 4 days that are Purim, so you should really say Al HaNisim all 4 days. Yudalt as well, the Rishon, Yudalt as well, the Shein. That's not our practice. The Minkacher writes that was his practice. He had a lot of unusual things. So the Pashtus is that we don't follow that opinion. He quotes an opinion like that. We hold that the reciting Al HaNisim is one of the mitzvahs hayoyim. It doesn't happen automatically because today is a yontav. You have to mention something. It's only a yontav midirabbanan. So you're only obligated to mention Al HaNisim if you have to fulfill the Takanas Chachamim. when Purim falls out on Sunday, so the question is, when do you fast a Tainus Esther? So in Shulchan Aruch, it's recorded that you observe Tainus Esther on Thursday. So instead of laying the normal Pasha Sashiva, you're going to lay by Chal. You're going to lay by Chal to Mincha on a normal Thursday. You don't lay to Mincha. You're going to lay by Chal to Mincha. So Rav Soloveitchik said that he remembered his grandfather, Rav Chaim, wouldn't want to take an Aliyah when Tainus Esther is pushed up to Thursday, because the Meiri on Maseches Megillah quotes that there were two practices. When Purim falls out on Sunday, does one observe Tainus Esther on Friday or on Thursday? So he's supposed to observe on Friday, so your bracha on the Kriyas HaTorah could be a bracha levatona. The laning Thursday afternoon, laning by Chal, so it's the wrong Kriya. So he would avoid taking an Aliyah. But in Shulchan Aruch, that's what it says, and that's the common practice. On Leil Purim, the first thing we do is we daf Marv, and we mention Alanisim and Nishman Esri. There is an opinion in the tour that you don't begin to say Alanisim by Marv unless you've already read the Megillah first, because Purim only begins in the morning. The night of Purim is the night before Purim. It's Erev Purim. That's not the generally accepted opinion. We assume that Purim began already, and Purim begins at night. But there was such a funny opinion in the days of the Gaonim, Rav Soloveitchik used to like to talk about that opinion, that Purim only begins by Yom, because the Goyim, Haman, wanted to wipe out the Jews. And by the Goyim, Halayla Halach Achra Yom, the days begin with the morning. Today, the Goyim assume days begin at midnight. It goes from midnight to midnight. But the Gemara says that by the non-Jews, the day begins in the morning. So because Haman wanted to celebrate, and as an ahapach, it turned into a holiday for the Jewish people, so the Yonta Bayas only begins in the morning. But we don't follow that opinion. We say Alanisim at night, even though we didn't read the Megillah yet. In the Mishnah Brura, he points out that the Alanisim, the sentence doesn't make sense. It should be the Alanisim. We say, Moedim Anach Naloch, we thank you. Anisech Shebuchol Yamimon, Valnif Lasech Vita Vesech Shebuchol Leser, Vavoyke Vitzaharayim, Alanisim Alapurkan. We thank you for A, B, Achayen, I'm serving Be'adech, and Nishmasein, Abkudaslach. We thank you for this, for that, and the other thing. The Alanis, with a Vav. It doesn't make sense just to say Alanis. You look in the Rambam in the Nusach HaTfilo, so the Rambam points out that normally when you say Moedim Anach Noloch, so we thank HaKodesh Boch, Al Chayen, I'm serving Be'adech, and Nishmasein, Abkudaslach, and Nisech Shebuchayim, and Nifasel, and Nisech Shebuchayim, Ever Vekib, and Tzohar, and then we sum it up, HaKol, and so on. He said, "Banachanik in Purim, when you want to say Viala Zeh, Viala Zeh, so you say Viala Nisim. So you don't say Hatov Ki L'Chol Rachamech. What are you summing up, and then you go back to say the details?" So the Rambam says, "Banachanik in Purim, you say Achayin Amzurim Ve'Adech Madash Masein Apkudasav Hanisech Erev Veikav Tzaharoim Viala Nisim Al Apurkan Al Gvoros." And you finish Al Nisim. Then it's such a long arichas, it doesn't make sense to sum it up and say Hatokel Lachol Rachamecha. So you leave that out. You start again the Al Kulam. That's how the Rambam has the nusach. Makes more sense than the way it's printed in our sidurim. After we dav Ma'ariv, so we read the Megillah. The Mishnah says that the tzibur can either sit. Karas haMegillah Amid V'Yoshev. You can either sit or stand. It sounds from the Gemara. There's no heater to stand. You have in the Tshuvas HaGoinim, they have an insistence that everybody has to stand the whole time. Just like many have the practice to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, so the Goinim had an insistence you have to stand for Mikra Megillah. There are some people who stand, but the Pashto says it's against the whole Mishnah in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Rambam just writes, the Balkori who lains B'tzibur should stand out of Kavod HaTzibur. If the Balkori lains Shelo B'tzibur, if you have less than a minyan, even the Balkori is permitted to sit. So the Goyim had such a psanu chumrit that everyone should stand b'shas kriyas hamigil. The Pashto says it's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah Berurah points out that there is a problem. The Mishnah Berurah is not here in Hilchas Purim. He has in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, so people usually don't remember. It's in the second volume of the Mishnah Berurah. There is a din. One is not permitted to hold on to the parchment of the Sefer Torah. Hilchas Sefer Torah Orum is you two buddy-buddy with the Sefer Torah. You should have respect and not touch the Sefer Torah Orum with your bare hands. So let's say this afternoon to Mincha, the guy who did Hagbeps almost, he didn't do it right, so someone else had to hold the cloth of the Sefer Torah, so he held it with a talus. That's the common practice. You don't touch the cloth. So the Beis Yosef quotes two opinions, whether this only is limited to Sefer Torah, Eichas Sefer Torah Orum, or even applies to Nevi'im Uksuvim. So we usually mach Merihim and Nevi'im Uksuvim. So you hold on to an Eitz Chaim, but the Megillah says that we don't have an Eitz Chaim because it's Nikris Igeres. The meaning is that you don't have an Eitz Chaim on a Megillah says that. It doesn't possible if you do have, but the meaning is that you don't have. So how do you hold on? You have to hold on with a talis. We don't do that. So there is a Gemara in the end of the first parak in Masechah Shabbos when the Mishnah mentions that there were 18 Zeris. One day, the Beis Shammai outvoted Beis Hillel. Must have been a chasen or something. Many of the Beis Hillel were not there. So the Beis Shammai looked around like in Congress and they saw who's there and who's not there. So they brought up 18 issues and they rammed through 18 issues knowing that the Beis Hillel wouldn't agree. Then the next day when the Beis Hillel came back, so they thought about it and they agreed. So the whole issue was pretty irrelevant. They didn't have to ram it through. They would have discussed it. It would have been the Beis Hillel would have agreed also. So the whole thing was no big deal. So then the Gemara discussed which are the 18 Zeres. What are the Yud Ches Vav? So one of them had to do with this Sefer Torah's Metame is Hayadayim. So there's a difficult line in the Gemara. The Gemara asks the Kashin and gives an answer. We don't understand the Kashin. So Tosfos stands on the head to try to explain Pshat and the Kashin. So in that Gemara, the end of the first parak in Masechah Shabbos, the Mordechai quotes some of the Balei HaTosfos who interpret that difficult line in the Gemara as follows, that if you would wash until it's your dime in advance, then it would be permissible to touch a Sefer Torah with your bare hands. When you have Stam Yadayim, Haskonis, the hands are touching the shoes and touching, scratching your head and all kinds of things. So the fingers are greasy. So that's not proper. That's not Derech Eretz to touch the cloth of the Sefer Torah with hands which you didn't wash. But if you would have washed your hands in advance, it would have been permissible to touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. You wouldn't have to have the hefsek of the Talmud. So we don't accept that opinion of the Mordechai. So the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah writes, but with respect to Nevi'im Ksuvim, we are makel because it's a sekseh. Maybe the whole din doesn't apply to Nevi'im Ksuvim. Maybe the whole prohibition only applies to Eichel Sefer Torah Orim. That's the Loshon HaGemara. Maybe it only applies to Sefer Torah. And even if we are machmer, it does apply to Nevi'im Ksuvim, but we can rely with Tziruf Deshitas HaMordechai that if you wash your hands in advance. We don't say a brocha on the Tilsi Adayim because according to Tosfos you've accomplished nothing. Tosfos doesn't hold in this whole thing, just the Mordechai says like that. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that whoever has a Megillah, not just the Bakar, whoever has a Megillah, he wants to hold it with his bare hands, should really wash the Tillis Adayim in advance before he touches the Megillah, because it doesn't have an Eitz Chaim. So he has to rely on this Svek Svek. Most people don't look in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah on Erev Purim, so they forget. There is an old minhag from the days of the Gaonim, spread out over all year long, that when the Balkori lanes Kriyas HaTorah and Kriyas HaMegillah and Haftoras, so we sing along certain psukim. So we know on the Tainus Sibur, we say along the psukim. So then in the Megillah Sestos, so part of that meaning, and then they had other also along the course of the year, psukim of Nechama in Megillas Eicha, which psukim we say Megillah Sestos? So few. There are a few, maybe another person. So the minigan Purim has to do with that. Psukim of Nechama, of Slicha, of Simcha, of happiness, joy, Rechilas Avainas. So the meaning is that we say along with the Balkari, the Dalat Psukei Geula, Ish Yidu Hay B'Shushan Abira, and so on. So that's the meaning, it's Psukim of Geula. Then the Ramah says, after you've read, most of the people don't have a Megillah in front of them to have a Chumash. So if you learn from the Chumash, you're not Yotzi, you have to learn from the Megillah. The din, strictly speaking, is as long as 51% of the Megillah you heard Mitoch HaKsav, and the Miyot Yilein Balpeh, when you read from a Chumash, that's called Balpeh. So strictly speaking, you would be Yotzei. But the Lachatchila, you want to fulfill the mitzvah Vishli Musa, to hear every word of the Megillah Mitoch HaKsav, from the Klaf. So the Ramos says, even though the Tzibur says the Pasuk, as the Balkori gets up to it, the meaning is the Balkori lanes again the Pasuk. So the first three Psukim, there's no problem, because we said a Pasuk, and we weren't fully Yotzei in the Mikra Megillah yet. We have more Psukim to say. So the Balkori lanes it Mitoch HaKsav. So we have even the Lachatchila. The Pasuk is even Mitoch HaKsav. When you get to the last Pasuk in the Megillah, so if we're going to say the Pasuk before the Balkore, bingo! So we were Yotzei ready. We're ready to fulfill the mitzvah. We're Yotzei the mitzvah. Amikra Megillah Shalom B'Shleim Lusa. So will we gain anything by having the Balkore repeat the Pasuk Mitoch HaKsav after you're ready? We're Yotzei the mitzvah Shalom B'Shleim Lusa. we yotze the whole mitzvah mikra megillah. Can it help that the balkor is going to say the pasuk mitarach haksa? So that's a famous discussion in Achrenim. The Kosher Golova has a whole essay about that. They say from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he held mitzvah aswar, there is no such thing. It can't be. Once you yotze mitzvah shalom, let's say I shake a lulav and an esrog, and the esrog is not such a mehudah dika esrog. So I want to shake again a second time with a more mehudah dika esrog. If I have an esrog that's a suffix, if it's kosher or not, then I shake a second time and say, I know for sure I fulfilled the mitzvah. But if the first esrog was vaday kosher, but not so mehudah, and then later on we're going to shake again another dalad minim with an esrog that's more mehudah, so they quote from Rav Chaim that he held that you don't gain anything. You're already beyotze the mitzvah b'di'avid with the esrog built in mehudah. So you can't fulfill the hidden mitzvah after having already fulfilled the mitzvah shalom b'shlemus. So that's why there are those who are medactic on the concluding pasuk in the Megillah. That's the fourth of the Dalet Psukei Geula. That's not right to say, the minig usually is to say the three psukim before the Balkari, then the Balkari repeats them in Terach Haksav. So the fourth pasuk, many recent rabbanim, I don't know, for so many centuries they never realized this. 20th century Kiddush, that maybe the last pasuk, maybe it's more correct to let the Balkari lane first the pasuk, then we yotze the whole mitzvah. Mishlei Musa, we heard every word from the Mitoch Haksav. And then we'll say the pasuk a second time. He's going to give us a chance because he rolls up the Megillah before he says the bracha after Mikra Megillah. So we have a whole minute or two till he finishes rolling the Megillah. So we have time to recite the concluding pasuk. In recent years, some of the women started a practice that they read their own Mikra Megillah with 10 women. And the Rabbanim said that the Rav Soloveitchik was very opposed to this. He didn't want to say it's usser, because he knew a lot of people were going to violate it. And it's not that it's usser, but it's a stupid thing. You start a minig, has to make sense. It's stupid for the following reasons. The Gemara has a machlekes Rav and Rav Asi, whether when you read the Megillah on Purim, is it necessary to have a minyan or not? So Rav held you don't need a minyan. If you read the Megillah d'Zmana, there's no need for a minyan. His student, Rav Asi, held that you do need a minyan. So even though Rav didn't agree, out of respect for Rav Asi's opinion, Rav, the Rebbe, would be choshish for the Talmud's opinion, and he would insist on having a minyan. So in the Shulchan Aruch, Rambam quotes from the tour that there's a dispute in the Rishonim where the 10 women constitute a minyan of Asara for this purpose. Because it's not really 10 people for saying Dovish B'Kedusha, Kadosh Kedusha, Baruch Hu or something. It's for the purpose of Pisumi Nisa. So there was a group of Rishonim who were of the opinion that 10 women is also good. One opinion, 5 men and 5 women is good. And the accepted opinion, Taisus. Ashkenazim usually follow Taisus. Taisus and Brocha says that 10 women do not constitute a minyan for the purpose of Mikra Megillah. There's a beferish like that. So why should you be Yotze B'Di'evit? Why should they be Yotze? Why shouldn't they be Yotze L'Hatchila? To hear the Mikra Megillah with 10 men? Furthermore, the Ramah says in the Shulchan Aruch that the reciting of the Bracha Harabis Riveinu after the conclusion of the Mikra Megillah, the Mishnah says it's only a minhag, it's not a requirement, Mikra Adin. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the Bracha as an optional Bracha. So the Ramah says the meaning is we only recite it when we lay in Ba'asara. If you lay in Biyachid, some people don't know. Let's say a person is in the hospital, doesn't feel well, an older person, so they have someone read the Megillah for them at home. So you only say the Brachas before, you don't recite the Bracha after Mikra Megillah. And the Ramah says that's the meaning. You only recite the Bracha Rabbis Yuvenu if you lay in Ba'asara. So again, the Ramah says we are Choshesh, we follow Shitas Balei HaTosfos, that 10 women, it's questionable. It's not considered Mikra Megillah Basar. So the meaning is that you don't say the Bracha or Rabbis Yuvenu afterwards. There are those who don't follow the Ramah, the Vilna Gaon. But most people don't follow the Vilna Gaon on all the things. There are certain things that the Vilna Gaon said that have been accepted. And the Lithuanian yeshivas, they picked up a lot of things from the Vilna Gaon. And this one is not picked up. The Vilna Gaon thinks that it's not right. This Ramah is not right. But that's the common minhag. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Hayyadim and the Mishnah Berurah. Everybody leaves it like that, that the bracha at the conclusion of the Mikra Megillah, Harabas Rivein, is only recited if you have Asur. Then when they asked Rav Soloveitchik about women reading the Megillah, so he said, Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar, that a woman, even for herself, shouldn't read her own Megillah. A woman should have a man read the Megillah for her, because the Zohar is of the opinion that women are not Mechuyev and Kriya, they're only Mechuyev and Shmiya. It's a difficult concept to understand. But that's what that was the practice for centuries, that people were medaktik to satisfy the opinion of the Zohar that's quoted by the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is a standard commentary on the side of the big Shulchan Aruch. And then, in these women's groups where they read the Megillah, so they like to be excited, so they divide the Mikra Megillah among nine people, and each woman reads one chapter. So that's a major machloikis in Shulchan Aruch. How you yotze b'di'evit if they divided the Mikra Megillah among different people. So in some schools and some yeshivas, they do that l'chatchila, because they want the boys after they have to have children after Bar Mitzvah. So I know Rabbi Luchstein, all of Hashalom, he introduced them in Ramaz. He, for his clientele, he felt he wants to keep them after they graduate the elementary school, their Bar Mitzvah. He wants to keep them in Torah Mitzvah. So he divided up the Megillah, had each kid practice laning one chapter, and the next kid lanes the next chapter. Okay, for the purpose of Kirov, so you do it even l'chatchila. But if you don't have an issue of Kiruv, so why should you violate? There is an opinion that even with the Evin you're not Yotze. If you hear half in the Megillah from one person, half from the other person. So why should one introduce such a practice? So the Jacobis recommended that they shouldn't permit this in the shuls. They said if the women want to have their own Mikra Megillah, let them do it at home. You shouldn't allow it in the shuls because it's a stupid minig. You should really check your Megillah to make sure that it's written properly. Many of the Megillahs have the following violation. It says in the Gemara that the Aseres Beni Haman have to be written in two columns. How does it say? Eis Parshandos, Eis Daf, Eis Aspas, Eis Peirasa. So you have the Eis over there and the names over here. You have a big empty space in the middle. So the Shulchan Aruch says if you don't write it like that, if you don't have the empty space in the middle, so it's possible even with the Evid. So how wide does the empty space have to be? So the Mishnah Brura quotes from Rashi and his commentary on the Gemara Megillah that the empty space should be kefil kefi haksav, should be twice the width of the writing. Usually that's not the case. Usually they don't want to waste so much parchment, so usually they have very little space in between. So that's not really right. It's in the Shulchan Aruch that it passes even by the Eved. It's not really right. So you should the Baal Kori who's laning from a Megillah should check to make sure that the Megillah is written properly. The Gemara says if you have a Megillah which is missing words or letters here and there, as long as rove of the Megillah is written and the Baal Kori lanes from it, even though the Miut is going to be laning Baal Peh, so that's acceptable. So this is really a double chiddush. Chiddush number one, in the Sefer Torah we say Sefer Torah shechasa oisachas. If the Sefer Torah is missing one letter, so the whole Sefer Torah is puzzle. So here number one, this is a chiddush in the heftz of the Megillah, that the Megillah that's only nichtav ruba has 51% written and 49% is missing is considered a kosher Megillah. Then chiddush number two, the Baal Kori is supposed to lay mitoch haksav. If he's going to say Baal Peh, so it's no good. So the Baal Kori on Shabbos, the Sefer Torah is fine, but if he's going to lane every other word, he's going to say Baal Peh, so that's not acceptable. So here, if the Megillah is missing 49%, so obviously he's going to be saying 49% Baal Peh. He's not looking at another Megillah. He's saying it Baal Peh. So that's a Chiddush in the second din, that the Kriya has to be Metor HaKsav. So you say Ruba Kukula on the Cheft of the Megillah, and Ruba Kukuloi, if Roiva of the Megillah is read Metor HaKsav in the Miyad Baal Peh, so that is acceptable. So we have a common practice when the Baal Kori is reading the Megillah and someone is following along in a Chumash, in a printed Chumash. So you cannot fulfill a mitzvah, Mikra Megillah, if you read from a printed Chumash. You have to read or hear the Megillah from a aksav, a klav. It should be written in the Hefshim. So let's say they're making noise by Haman or whatever, I'm hard of hearing and I missed the word from the Baal Kori. So we mentioned there is a machlokes, if you hear the Megillah, half is read by one person, half is read by another person, are you yotze or not? So b'di'evid, we pass in that you are yotze. B'lachatchila taka not right. So it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I think, if the Baal Kori is laning, and I think I missed the word, or I missed the letter, so I should say, I heard from the Baal Kori till this word. And then I missed a few words over here, so I should say the missing words from the printed Chumash, till I catch up with the Baal Kori, because you have to hear the whole Megillah Sester in the correct order. If you hear it out of order, l'mafreya, you're not yotze. So I was yotze with the Baal Kori, heard everything up until this point, so I should say what I missed from the printed Chumash, and then I should catch up with the Balkaira and I'll hear the rest. So the Megillah is a perfect Megillah, it's not missing anything, but I only heard 99% from the Megillah, and 1% I said by myself from the printed Chumash. So here there's a shad that comes up in every shul. A person comes into the Megillah laning 1 minute late. So the Balkari ready is halfway through the brachas. So the person has to say quickly the brachas. So by the time he says the brachas, Balkari is ready at the end of the first pasuk. So he says the first pasuk from a printed Chumash. And then he catches up, says it quickly, catches up to the Balkari. So he's going to hear 99% of the Mikra Megillah is going to be Metach HaKsav. So this is a machlekes in the Mishnah Berurah. Is that acceptable? Why? Because we have... This morning was Parshas Vayakel. So did we learn from a Sefer Torah that only had Vayakel? If you have a Sefer Torah that only has Parshas Vayakel, that's called Kriya Bal Peh. You have to have learn from a Klaf that has a Sefer Shalom, has the whole Sefer Shmois. The Gemara says in Gittin, Perek HaNizok, and the Kobet HaTzibur, the Bris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Bris with the Jewish people, and the Sefer HaBris is the whole Sefer Torah, not just Sefer Shmos. So since Mipnei Kobet HaTzibur, if you're learning Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, so you should learn from a Sefer Torah Shalom, even though you're just learning Parshas Vayakel, and if you learn just a cloth that has Parshas Vayakel, that's called Kriya Bal Peh. That's the same as learning from a printed Chumash. If you learn from a Sefer Shmos, a whole Sefer Shmos, that's Kriya Metach HaKsav, but it's not the Sefer HaBris. Sefer Shmos is not the Sefer HaBris. Sefer HaBris is the whole Chamishul from Shetorah. Originally, on the occasion of Maim HaSina, it says Moshe Rabbeinu read from the Sefer HaBris. The Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta, the Sefer HaBris. At that time was from Bereshis till Yisrael, till Maim HaSina. Then at the end of the 40 years, so Moshe Rabbeinu was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu the rest of the Chamishul from Shetorah. Then the Baruch Shalom said, put it in this order. So at the end of the Aboim Shana, the Sefer HaBris now consisted of the whole Chamishul Chum Shetar, the whole thing is the Sefer HaBris. So you have to lay in Kriyas HaTorah from the Sefer HaBris, because the Bris was made with the Tzibur. So the Gemara says, Bris wasn't made with the Yechidim, Bris is made with the Klal Yisrael, so Kriya B'Tzibur has to be from the Sefer HaBris, when they cover that Tzibur. So the Gemara has Machlekes HaTanoim, Amigilas Esther, how much do you have to lay? So we paskin have to learn from the beginning to the end, every word. But there were other Tanaim that said, no, you have to have a Megillah Sester from the beginning to the end, like you have to have a whole Sefer Torah, but you don't learn the whole Sefer Torah today, just learn by Yakel. So one opinion was, you have to start learning from Ishi Yuyi Hoyde B'Shushan Abira, B'Lailahu Noradoshnas HaMela. Different opinions in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, but even if you hold, you don't have to read the whole thing, but you have to have a Megillah that's written from the beginning to the end. So the Rishonim are all bothered with Akasha. If the Gemara said that if 51% of Megillah is written, even though 49% is missing, it's good. Ruba Kukuloi. So what's wrong if the first couple chapters are missing? The last couple chapters is 51%. Why does the Gemara insist? Tzvichish takes Suva Kula. Everything has to be written. What you're going to learn is going to be Mitoch HaKsav, and the part that's missing is 49%, less than 49%. So what's the problem? So the Rishonim give two different answers. We don't know which is the correct answer. So we're machma for both in the Shulchan Aruch. So one suggestion they give is, if you're missing an Inyan Sholem, then the whole Megillah is possible. Another suggestion is, Chilasa or Sofo is missing, the whole thing is no good. So the Mishnah Berurah has a machlokes. What does it mean, Chilasa or Sofo? That's a din in the text of the Megillah. It's missing the Chilasa or the Sofo. It's no good. That's all it means. But let's say I came in a minute late, and I said all the brachas. The Balkar is finishing the brachas. I have to gobble down, I have to say the brachas. Then I have to say the first pasuk from the printed chumash. Then I say quickly, and the Balkar is now up to the second pasuk, so I listen there. So the Trilasa, the opening pasuk, in the Megillah, it's all written. But I was yotzei the first pasuk Balpeh. So this chisaron that the Rishonim said, that if you're missing Trilasa or Sofa or Inyan Shalem, it's no good. Is that only a din in the Hechshah HaMegillah? If the Megillah has 51% is missing, and 51% is written, 49% is missing, so it's good. That's only provided that the 49% that's missing is not Chilos of the Sofa. But in your being Yotzeh the Mikra Megillah, you can be Yotzeh the first chapter Bal Peh. I can read the first couple chapters from a printed Chumash, as long as I hear 51% from the Balkari. That din, Chilos of Sofa, Pasels, that's only a din. It pasels in the heft of the Megillah. It doesn't pasel on my Mikra Megillah. So the Mishnah Berurah had a machlekes in the yeshiva about this. And then after we had the machlokes in the yeshiva, then we found the Mishnah Berurah has the machlokes. I thought the Pashtus says that it's only a din in the Chefetz of the Megillah. It's not a din in the Kriya. I think that's the common practice, that if a person comes in late, he says he comes in just half a minute late. So he says all the brachas and he says the first pasuk too, and then he listens to the rest in the Balkari. So we assume that this chisaron that the Gemara talks about, chilosa or sofa, is missing. That it's no good. That's only a chisaron in the Chefetz of the Megillah. That it's a pasulos and the Chefetz of the Megillah. But it's not a din in my being yotze the mitzvah. I can be yotze the mitzvah. The chilosa I can lay in Balkari. In the Shulchan Aruch, they have an interesting chumrah, very surprising, and the Magen Avraham has to make sense out of it, that if I'm reading the Megillah with less than a minyan, l'chatchila, Rav held you can lay without a minyan. His student, Rav Asi, held that you do need a minyan, so b'choshesh, Rav is choshesh for his student's opinion. Gemara says, even though he disagreed, out of respect for his Talmud, it was choshesh for his opinion. So he always insisted on having a minyan. What if he can't get a minyan? So we lay in the Kriyas HaMegillah, the hospital, and at home, private reading. A lot of times there is no minyan. You just leave out HaRabbis Rivein. So what happens if the one who's listening to Megillah basically can read the Megillah on his own? It'll take him longer. He's not a Bakki. He won't know the trap, but he'll be able to read the Megillah on his own. He's a Bakki. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, if the people who are listening are not Bikiyim, they just will not... they won't be able to read the Megillah. Then I can be moitzed them, even though it's less than a minyan. But if the listeners are bikiyim, they can really read on their own, then you cannot be moitzed them b'pachas me'asar, unless you have a minyan. Where in the world does this come from? So the Magen Avraham points out, Shulchan Aruch quotes it from one of the Rishonim, from the Or HaChaim. What is it based on? What does it say in the Gemara? So it's based on the Gemara with respect to davening. The Gemara says, how does it ever work? The Balkari reads the Megillah and all the listeners are Yotze, but the Chiyuv is everyone has to read the Megillah themselves. So the answer is, when I say Kiddush and Havdalah, whoever listens is Yotze using the principle Shamea Koina. The one who pays attention is considered as if they recited the Kiddush and Havdalah, as if, and whoever listens to my Tkiya Shofar is considered as if they blew the Shofar. Whoever listens to my Mikra Megillah is considered as if they themselves read the Megillah. So the Gemara has, the Yerushalmi has, but it's based on Mishnayos, that there are three areas in Halacha where we don't permit Shemei Koine. One is davening. If you have a Chayla B'Soch Beischa, you need a Parnasa, you have some kind of a, you need a Shidduch, you have some kind of a problem. So you ask the Rabban Shalom, why should you be relying on someone else Shemei Koine? If you have a need, so you ask the Rabban Shalom directly. Then another exception to the rule is Kriyashma. It's not right. Kabbalah Samach Shmaim. I'm going to listen to him and not say a word. He's going to say Shmaim. Say on your own. Kabbalah Samach Shmaim. You should say on your own. And the third exception to the rule is when it comes to eating food. You're eating yourself. You're not asking him to eat for you. So you should say your own Hamoitzin. You should say your own Bichas Hamozin. So the Mishnah says we have the practice. One person says Hamoitzin. Everybody's Yoitze. That's only Hesebu. That's only if everybody. In the days of the Tanoim, the practice would be that in order to eat in a relaxed fashion, they would eat in a reclining position. They would all have mitas, they would all have a bed, like on Pesach night, you eat Pesach. By us, it's a pain in the neck. But in the days of Tanoim, they enjoyed it better. That was more pleasant eating. So the Mishnah says in Brachas, if everybody's reclining on their Hesebu bed, so the Echem Mevarch Lukulim, but if Loi Hesebu not. Tosis points out we don't have any Hesebu, so Tosis says Yeshiva Didan ke Hesebu Didu. If the people are sitting around the table, then it's called Achila Bikvias. So then one person could say Hamoitz and the others will be Yotzer. Let's say they're not sitting at the table. Everybody just came, they just washed until it's Yadayim, and this fellow is sitting, he says Hamoitz and the others are standing. So they're not Yotzer. Everybody has to be sitting around the table in order that one person can say Hamoitz to be Moitz the others. And when they are sitting around the table, It's not that you're employing the principle of Shemea Koine. Shemea Koine doesn't apply to eating food. The word is, the whole Chabur is only obligated to offer one Hamoitzi. If they're eating B'Chabura, the whole Chabur is only obligated to offer one Hamoitzi. And then when they recite Birchas Hamozen at the end of the meal, that's what benching Mezumen is all about. If you have three people or ten people, so Bizman HaGemar, the practice would be only one person. When they bench Mezumen, one person would say the benching, the others would just say Amen. But we don't allow Shemei Koine in benching. We don't allow Shemei Koine not in the bracha before eating, not in the bracha after. So in the days of the Gemara, the vort was, the pshat was, the whole chabura is only obligated to offer one benching. The whole chabura is only obligated to offer one hamoitzi. The whole chabura, the whole group, is only obligated to offer one bichas hamazon. But it's talking not based on shemei ha'koinim. So the Gemara says in the beginning, the first daf in Shloshish Sheochlu, let's say two people ate bread, two people had sandwiches. One of them knows how to bench, the other one doesn't know how to recite the bench. Doesn't have a sitter, doesn't know how to read, whatever, doesn't know how to bench. So one is a seif and one is a boor. So the Gemara said, the seif and mevarech, ubor yetze bibrachasa. Why? Because min ha-Torah, there are no exceptions to the rule. These three exceptions, that by tefillah and by kriyashma and by eating, bracha before and after eating, we don't permit shemei kainah, this is only midirabbanah. On the level of deraisa, that's what the Mishnah Bura quotes from the Vilna Gaon, Pshat and the Gemara. Mikra adin deraisa, you always say shemei kainah. It's only a chumri midirabbanah not to allow shemei kainah in these three cases. So that's only if the other fellow is able to say the bracha on his own. If he doesn't know how to say the benching on his own, so we revert back to the din deraisa, and we do allow. And the only time we would allow, let's say, tefillah, the other fellow does not, let's say, he can't speak, he doesn't know how to daven, or he's blind, and he can't, but it's impossible. It's too difficult for him to say every word in the Rosh Hashanah de Gishmona Esrei. What, I'm going to say word for word, I'm going to say after me, it'll take him forever to say Gishmona Esrei. So if it's very difficult, so then you revert back to the dinder. Right? So you do allow, you do permit Shemei Koina by tefillah as well. So the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the last daf, if you have a minion, so then we allow, the chazan to be moitzi the bikim. But less than a minion, only if the other fellow is an ain't a baki. If the listener is a baki, then we don't permit shemei kainah by tefillah. So the Magen Avraham points out, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this from the Rishonim, from the Ochas Chaim. Apparently they treat Mikra Megillah as a form of tefillah. Mikra Megillah is really a kiyum of reading Tanakh, like a reading of Haftarah, Kriyas HaTanakh. Then the Gemara says also it's a form of Hallel. It's an implicit Hallel. We tell over the story. We believe that the story was a Neis Nistar, and we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Neis. It's a form of Hallel, implicit Hallel. And it's also a form of Tefillah. We are implicitly praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that just like he did Nisim to our forefathers years ago, he should continue to give Nisim to all of us today. He should give us a Geula, just like he gave us at that time. So since a major element of Kriyas HaMegillah is this implicit tefillah, so we treat it like tefillah in the Magen Avraham. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes it from the Magen Avraham. We treat Mikra Megillah as a form of tefillah. And if the people who are listening are bikiyim, they can really read the Megillah on their own. It'll take them twice as long, but they can read. They won't know the whole trap. But here and there they'll know the trap, and they won't make such major mistakes in the Ivra. They'll be able to yotzei. So if the people are bikiyim, so we don't permit shemei akaina unless you have asara. So that's a din that a lot of people don't know. That's a beferish sif in the Shulchan Aruch. That the balkari should learn to be mitzi the others. So if the others are not bikiyim, so we permit it even with pachas me'asara. But if the others are bikiyim, so you have to have dafka asara to be mitzi the others. The Gemara says there's a mitzvah of Sudas Purim based on the pasuk in Megillah Esther. I say, b'simcha. You have to have a Sudas Purim. The Rambam said the Sudas Purim has to be fleshy, supposed to be yayin. Some people don't realize because in Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say it has to be fleshy. Some people say, look in Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say, but the Rambam writes like that. It has to be supposed to be yayin, and the yayin should be ad lo yada. The Gemara says you should drink so much till you get a little bit drunk. There are some Rishonim who say that since the Gemara mentions a tragic story that someone got drunk on Purim and he killed someone else, that the Gemara quoted the story to tell us that we don't paskin like that din. But it's not, that's not the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch said he's supposed to get drunk a little bit. But they used to point out the Rambam is very clear. The mitzvah of getting drunk only applies in the middle of the meal. The Gemara says on Leil Purim you're not yotzei the Sudas Purim, so there's no mitzvah to get drunk Leil Purim. It's only in the daytime, in the middle of the meal, when you're having the suda, you have basar yayin, so you drink a little extra. It says in the Ramah, what do you mean? How drunk do you have to get? So he says shoyse yose milimuda, you drink more than you usually drink until you become drowsy and you take a nap after you finish benching. So that's adaloyada v'nor hamal baruch mardechai. Is it necessary to wash to have hamoitzi to have pas? or not. The Rambam just says basa v'yayin. So the Magen Avraham quotes a dispute among Achrenim. If a person recites the benching on the Sudas Purim in the daytime and he didn't say Al Anisim, is he Yotze the Sudas Purim? Does he have to repeat the benching? So the Gemara says that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because there's a Chiyuv Suda, you have to have a Suda with Pas. So the din requires you have to mention Ritzei Alaviyav and the Birchas Hamazon. And if a person benches on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he forgot to say Ritzei Alaviyav, he's Yotze the benching, but he's not Yotze the Suda Shabbos. Because they have to be kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos, by reciting Ritzei and Yalaviyav and the Birchas Hamazon. So what about Shabbos Shudas? So Tosis has one opinion that Shabbos Shudas you don't have to wash, you can be Yotze without Hamoitzi. So if you can be Yotze by just tearing some gefilte fish, a piece of herring, or some, if Mina Targum is good, then you're just going to say Bar Nefesh, so you're not going to mention Shabbos at all. So obviously the Ritzei is not needed to recite Ritzei, to be kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos with the Suda Shlishis. So even if you did have Pas, and if you got to say Ritzei by Shabbos Shudas, you wouldn't have to bench over. So that's the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, because there's one opinion in Tosfos, so we say Safik Brachos L'Hakam, so Machlokes, but because preferable is you should wash with Shabbos Shudas as well, and you should remember to say Ritzei. But if a person forgot to say Ritzei, so we wouldn't say has to bench over again, because there is an opinion that he yotze Shabbos Shudas without Hamoitzi. So the Magen Avraham quotes that there's a Machlokes on Suras Purim, if a person recites the benching after the meal, and he forgot to say Al Anisim, is a yotze the Suda or not? So what's the issue, whether it's ma'akib? So the Magen Avraham thinks that's exactly the machlokes. Is it like Shabbos Shudas and you don't really need bread? So if you didn't have that bread, you could have had a whole meal, basa v'yayin, without any bread. So you wouldn't have to say Al Anisim at all. If you just say Bar Nefesh, you say Al Amichya, you had spaghetti or something, you just say Al Amichya, you don't mention Purim at all. So if you hold you don't need pas, then you can't say, if you had pas, can't say Al Anisim is ma'akib b'diyavin. You could have been yotze the Suda without pas. But if you hold you need dafke pas, so then the alanism would be liku. So that's what the Magen Avraham interprets. That is the machlokes achrenim, whether the Sudas Purim requires pas. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't think the Magen Avraham is right. He brings what he considers arayas, that you're not yotze any Sudas Mitzvah unless you wash. You go to a bris, it's a Sudas Mitzvah, a chasen, a Sudas Mitzvah. So a lot of people want to leave the chasen early. They don't want to have to wait till the benching at the end. It's going to take forever. So they don't wash. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, whenever you don't wash, you're not Yotze the Sudas Mitzvah. You only Yotze the Sudas Mitzvah if you have Pas. So he thinks, everybody agrees on Purim, you have to have Pas. Not just enough to have Basa V'Yayin. You have to have Pas with Basa V'Yayin. It's a machlekes whether Al Anisim is Likuva or not. Maybe the Chachamim just instituted Al Anisim L'Hatchila. Then maybe it's not the same as Ritzein Yalaviyam. So that's a Shaila. More correct is one should have Basa V'Yayin with Pas. And bench, then there is a machlokes in Hilchos Birchas Hamazon. What if the person, many people have the practice, they wash, they just begin to say Amotzi before the Shkia, and on the whole meal they have on Matzoi Purim. So that's not right. The bulk of the meal should certainly take place on Purim. The question is, does the Birchas Hamazon have to take place on Purim? So the Beis Yosef quotes a machlokes about that. So we paskin b'di'evan, many shuls they do this l'chatchila. In the yeshiva they always do it like that. In the shtiblach they always do it. They have Shabbos Shudas and then they bench an hour after the shkia. They bench way after the shkia. After Tzeis HaKochavim already. So that's a machloikis, and that's how we pass in Halacha Lamaisa, that you do say Ritzei, you say Al Anisim, as long as the meal took place on Purim or the meal took place on Shabbos, you do say Ritzei Al Anisim. More correct is one should avoid it. I remember one summer I spent in onset, the Rabbi Soloveitchik used to go on vacation. So Michal Shurkin was a distant relative of Rabbi Soloveitchik, so he pressured Rabbi Soloveitchik he should allow him to come attend the shiurim in the summertime. So he allowed him. What's he going to say? No. He allowed him. Then Michal schlept me over. That was the summer that Michal's father passed away, so he had to come back to New York for the funeral. So I remember there was no minyan there for Mincha. It was only a minyan for Shachris. There was hardly anybody there. On Shabbos there was a minyan, but the whole weekday there was no minyan. So we daven mincha b'yechidus, and it was on Rosh Chodesh, and we washed, and we sat down to eat a meal right before the shkia, in such a way we were going to bench Matzoi Rosh Chodesh. So Rav Soloveitchik's mother was benching. We were washing, she was benching. She was there. So then she finished benching, and she looks to us and she says in Yiddish, Bochum were learning the yeshiva all their lives, and they all know it's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. Whether you say Yalav Yavai, if you bench Amatzoi Pur, Amatzoi Shchedesh, you don't do the way you did. Either you bench before the Shkia like I did, or you wash after Tzeisach Kochavim. You don't wash before and a bench later at night. So it's really, that's the correct way to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov also. It's not lechatchila. You really shouldn't bench for Shabbos Shudas an hour after the Shkia. You should bench before the Shkia. So one should try to do that on Purim as well. B'diyeved, the Shulchan Aruch has this machlag, b'diyeved, if a person finishes the meal on Leil Matzoi Purim, on Leil Matzoi Shabbos, b'diyeved, we paskin, since the meal took place on Shabbos, or on Purim, so you still say Allah Nisim, you still say Ritzei. And some Achranim say, no, it's only Shabbos and Yom Tov because of Tosefes, Masif and Mechoel HaLakosh, it's still Shabbos, that's why you can say Ritzei, but there is no Tosefes on Purim. So others are of the opinion that you shouldn't say Ala Nisan, Amatzoi Pur. So we've happened to, it's a machlaikas, so we paskin, you do say Ala Nisan, but it's a machlaikas. So that's what she screamed, I remember that time.
We said Shushan Purim.
Right, so there is, the Minkacha paskins like the Levush, he always said Ala Nisan on Shushan Purim, and everything, didn't begin the meal on Purim, but we don't paskin like that. But the other person said, Ala Nisan on Shushan Purim, we wouldn't say it's a hepsik, we wouldn't say it's a daven over, a bench over again. But we don't say Ala Nisim on Shushan Purim. Yeah, what about the Gemara says Sudas Purim Shaso Balailo? The Gemara says if you have the Sudas Purim Leil Purim, so you're not Yotze. So the Mordechai has a machlekes on that Gemara. Mordechai was the end of the period of the Bali Atesis. He was one of the students of the Maharam Rutenberg. It was the end of the Tkufas Bali Atesis. So the Mordechai has two pshatim on the Gemara. So one pshat is that the mitzvahs only begin by Yom, like Rav Soloveitchik said. The night of Purim is the night before Purim. Purim begins in the morning. The fact that you read the Megillah, that's in order that the Mikra Megillah tomorrow morning should be the Gemara's Lashon and Chai Varim Likras is the Megillah Balayla Ula Shanosa Bayom, the Lena the second time in the daytime. Rav Soloveitchik every year would say over from the Netziv. The Netziv in his Hakdamah, the Sefer Shmos, points out on this Gemara that the purpose of reading the Megillah Leil Purim, the real Mikra Megillah is in the morning. The Iker Mitzvahs Megillah is in the daytime. The night before is just, we haven't looked at the Megillahs in a whole year, so we don't remember what it says, so we make a Leinen the night before Purim. And the Iker Kriya Sa Megillah is Bayam, so we read the Megillah Balayla so that this Kriya Bayam will be the second Kriya. The Netziv thinks that that's what the expression means, Ula Shanosa Bayam. To have the Chazara is better than the first time around. By me, that's always the case. I don't remember all the details of the Megillah from last year. So the year is very long, so I don't remember the whole story. So the night of Purim, I refresh my memory. Then when I hear the Megillah in the morning, I understand it a little better, because I just heard it last night. So that's what the Netziv says. So the Iker Kiras HaMegillah is really Bayom. The night before is just to get it straight. So that's the generally accepted opinion, that the Chiyub Suda is only Bayom. No mitzvah to have a suda balayla and shalachmanis, matanis levyayim, everything is only bayom. The Mikra Megillah, some whole day was instituted later, that's Rav Shlomo Levilna has that suggestion, that Bizmana Tanoim, they only had the Kriyas HaMegillah bayom. And the Kriyas HaMegillah Leil Purim is added on in the days of Dam Aroim. Doesn't say that in the Rishonim, but that it fits in very well in the Mishnais like that. The Mishnais never mentioned Kriyas HaMegillah balayla, only Kriyas HaMegillah bayom. So that's Rav Shlomo Levilna has. Soloveitchik was fond of saying that over, that there were those who say that the Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla, Leil Purim is only instituted Bizman HaMaroyim, and the Takana for the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah was only Bayom, because the night before Purim is the night before Purim. Purim begins in the morning. He liked that opinion. Then the other opinion in the Mordechai is no, when the Gemara says the Loshen Suras Purim Shasa Balayla Layotzi Lechavasa, means that it's not sufficient. Just like in every Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to have one Suda Balayla and one Suda Bayom. Shabbos, you have three Sudas, because the Mon, it says three times, Yichlu Hayom, Ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem, Hayom Lashem Tzu Basar, it says the word Hayom three times. So that's why the Zeicha Lamon, we have three Sudas on Shabbos. But Meikir Adin, let's say the third Suda Shlishis, doesn't have to be Pas, many Amekel, so Beikaron, there are really two Sudas, one Balayla, one Bayom. Like on Yom Tov, we don't have Shabbos Sudas, one Balayla, one Bayom. That's the other opinion in the Mordechai. That Sudas Purim, Shasal Balayla, Layotzi Lechavasa, is not sufficient. You have to have one Suda Balayla, one suda by yom. Everybody eats something by Laila because we were fasting Tainus Esther in the normal case where you're fasting on the day before, and not when Purim falls out on Sunday, you're fasting the week previous, before Shabbos. But when a normal Purim, so everybody's fasting, they're all going to eat. But the question is, do you have to have bus of a yayin or not? So by the Ekkes, they have everything is all worked out. So they have different parts of Germany. So some places they have Dafke Milchus, Leil Purim, to demonstrate that you're not yet to anything. And others had the meaning, no, they have Dafke Fleishik's Leil Purim, to satisfy that opinion. You have to have bus of a yayin by Laila, a bus of a yayin by Yom. So that's in Shulchan Aruch. They quote that Mordechai, that they recommend you should have two sudas, one by Laila, one Suda by Laila, one Suda by Yom. And as we mentioned, the Suda should be an elaborate Suda like on Shavuos. The Gemara had Machlokes HaTanaim and Masechet Pesachim and Masechet Beitza. The Gemara points out there's a contradiction between two Pesukim, how the Yom Tov is described. Pesach and Sukkos, is it Atzeres Tiyalachem? We should eat, drink, and be merry, or it's Atzeres Lashem. We should dedicate the day to davening and to learning. So it's a contradiction. So usually we have from the Yud Gimel Midrash, Atarin Ed Reshes, when we have Shnei Ksuvim HaMakrishim Zeh Zeh, two Psukim seem to contradict. You have the third Pasuk that tells you how to navigate. What do you do if you have Shnei Ksuvim HaMakrishim Zeh Zeh? There is no Kosev HaShlishi Shiachriya. So that's a Machloikis HaTanaim. How do you darshan? So Rav Lezer is of the opinion, there's other cases also, but here, Rav Lezer is of the opinion here, that whenever you have two psukim that are contradictory, there is no kosev ha-shlishi shachriya, so it means that it's optional. You can either choose A or choose B. So Rav Lezer's opinion is that on Pesach and on Sukkot, you should either spend the bulk of the day, 90% of the day, davening and learning and so on, just eat a little bit, or you should spend the bulk of the day eating and drinking and making merry and spend a little bit of time davening and learning. Kula l'ashem or kula l'achem. You have an option, either A or B. And we don't pass like that. We pass in chalkeyu, chetzi l'ashem or chetzi l'achem. Even though there is no kosev ha-shlishi she'achriya, we have to understand on our own how to make a hachro. It's the same contradiction the Gemara has when he gets to, should all the B'nai Yisrael be sitting and learning in a koilo? So hagisa ba yom of alayla, the person is supposed to learn all day and all night. Or do you say no? So it's a contradiction between the two psukim. So one Tana is of the opinion. Everybody sitting and learning in the kailo. And then the pasuk says, so that's because that Tana is of the opinion that we have snakes in the mam krishim zezeh. You don't make a compromise on your own. If there's no kosev ha-shlishi shechriya, so you don't make a compromise. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin chakeh, chetzel Hashem, chetzel Hashem by Pesach and Sukkot. So over there also we say, v'daf machana parnose, and the time that you don't need to make the parnose, then hagisa ba yom ha-loilo, hanik ba minik darcheret. You have to blend in the two psukim together. It's the same issue over there as it is over here. You have shnei ksuvim ha-makrishim zezeh, there is no kosev ha-shlishi shechriya. So we pass halacha that you make a compromise. So that's what the Gemara says. This machlok is between Rav Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, that according to Rav Lezer, if you want to, you can spend a whole day of Pesach, a whole day of Sukkot, davening and learning, and just eat the brief meals. That's only on Pesach and on Sukkot. But on Shavuos, everyone agrees you have to have an elaborate meal because Yom Shenit and Batur. So that's on Purim as well. The Gemara says, Hakal Maidim, everyone agrees you have to have an elaborate meal. So the Girsa we mentioned earlier, the Girsa Sagainim was, that the reason for this is because Purim is also Yom Shenit Matar, because the Kim of the Kibla, Kim of Mashi Kibla Kvar, it was the Kabbalah Satorah of the Torah Shabbal Peh. In the 1700s, the Chidor was in Meshulach. The Chidor was born in Eretz Yisrael, Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He was a big Talmid Chacham, and he was a Meshulach for the Yiddish Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, for Hebron and the rest of the Yishuv. He would travel around all of Europe. And he was an interesting person, so whenever there would be a state library, he would go to the library, and he would read what they had. So he was the first one who discovered all the Kisvei Yad, all the manuscripts of the Meiri, and he read through everything quickly. Whenever he found a Chiddush, he would copy it down and write it in his Sefer, in the Birkei Yosef. He wrote many, many Svarim. They say that he wrote Svarim. The number of Svarim he wrote corresponds to how many years he lived. Something like 83 Svarim or like that. And each sefer is like a whole encyclopedia. Encyclopedia of this, encyclopedia of that, the commentary on this, commentary on this. It's not that he wrote, he divided one sefer into 83 parts. Each sefer is a sefer bifnei atzmai. That was when the Jews started writing encyclopedias in the 1700s, alphabetically arranged. He has a few encyclopedias. So he was the one who quoted these two comments. Now everybody has these Meiris. They printed them, but at that time, they only knew it from the Chidot. So the Meiri has two Chidushim. The Gemara raises the question, how come on Hanukkah we recite Hal and on Purim we don't recite Hal? The Gemara gives three answers. So one of the answers is, well, we read the Megillah. So the Kriyas HaMegillah is Kriyasa Zu HaLeila. The reading of the Megillah is implicitly a recitation of the Hal. So the Meiri thinks we should pass like that answer in the Gemara, and he comes to the Chiddush that if you don't have a Megillah available, you're obligated to recite Hal. You're going to say the Hal. So that's very questionable whether the Netziv doesn't like that. The Netziv has a whole explanation in his commentary on the Shilkos why he doesn't agree with that, why the Minig never was like this Meiri. Then the Birkei Yosef quotes another line from the Meiri, that's Chiddush Mechudosh. The Gemara says in Erevin on Daf Mem on the base that strictly speaking, on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you can recite Shachyanu even when you're walking in the street. Shachyanu doesn't have to be part of the Kiddush. On Yom Kippur we do recite, we say Shachyanu in Shul. After Kol Nidre we say Shachyanu. No cup of wine there. If you're going to say Kiddush anyway on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, you're going to say Kiddush over a cup of wine. So you will enhance the chashivas of the brach of Shachyanu by reciting it at the conclusion of the Kiddush al Yayin. On Yom Kippur you can't. So you say you don't. So you say Shachyanu without a cup of wine. So the Miri has a Chiddush that when we read the Megillah, we say the three brachas, Al Mikra Megillah, and Shuas and Nisim, and Shachyanu. So even if you don't have a Megillah, you say Shachyanu anyway because it's a Yontif. Even though it's not a Yontif in Atar, it's only a Yontif in the Rabbanan, but the day itself requires a Shachyanu. So he has this Chiddush, even if you don't have a Megillah, and you're not going to fulfill any mitzvahs, and not going to have a Suda, no Shalachmanis, no Matanis, no Yom. He's on a desert island. There's no one to give Shalachmanis to. There's nothing to eat, no Suda, no Fleshiks, no Basav Yayin. He said, he says Shachyanu because the day itself. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, and he's not so sure whether we should accept that opinion or not. The Meiri writes the same in Masech HaShabbos regarding Hanukkah, that if you don't have a Menorah, you still say Shachyanu because the day is a Yantif. Shachyanu, Amra Fila Bashuk. Even if you're walking in the street, you don't need a cup of wine. Doesn't have to do with the Kiddush. Doesn't have to do with the Hadlokas HaNeiros. So the Mishnah Berurah is not so sure we should pass like that. That you say Shachyanu on a Yantav Derabbanan. Maybe the Shachyanu is only that we haven't fulfilled the Mikra Megillah since last year. Or we haven't fulfilled the Hadlokas HaNeiros since last year. Not over the Yantav. But is this Miri that some of the recent Poskim discussed, the Kol Mavasar of Meshulam Roth, was one of the Goinim in the Rabbanut in the early years, he was from the Mizrahi in Europe also. Because he was from the Mizrahi, so he never got a big Rabbanus, but he was a Goyna Goyim. The big positions in Europe only the Agudei Rabbanim got, the Mizrahi didn't get. So he has a whole tshuva after Hakamas HaMedina. Maybe we should say Shachyanu on the Yontav of Yom HaAtzmaut itself. When the day comes, maybe you have to say Shachyanu based on this Mishnah Berurah who quotes this Meiri. When you have a Yontav, the Rabbanon, maybe you have to say Shachyanu on the day itself. So these are the two chidushim that the Miri had, very questionable chidushim.
What about Hanukkah? To say Shachyanu, yeah. You don't like.
We really don't follow that. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it, he has a whole pilpul, but he says we really don't do that. We only say Shachyanu on Hadlokas HaNeiros. If you don't have a menorah, then we don't say Shachyanu on Hanukkah. And if you don't have a Megillah, we don't say Shachyanu on Purim. When you're reading the Megillah and you're saying a Shachyanu, so then it says you should have in mind Shachyanu on all of the mitzvahs hayom, on the Suda, on the Shalachmanis, and the Matanis Levianu. And then in Hilchas Shalachmanis, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a tshuva from the Binyan Tzion. Binyan Tzion was Rabbi Yankiv Etmager, one of the great smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, who was a rabbi in Germany. So he has a Chiddush. In the 1800s, comes up with a Chiddush. Shalachmanis, you're not yotze if you give it in person. You have to dafke give by yedei shaliach. If you deliver shalachmanis in person, you're not yotze. And then some achrayim came up, once you assume like that, then some came up with the suggestion, if usually you send little children, they should get out of your hair. So the children, before bar mitzvah, so they run around and deliver shalachmanis. So there's a din, a cotton can't serve as a shaliach. So some came up with the chiddush on top of the chiddush. that you're not yotze unless you send it to shliach, and the shliach has to be a bar mitzvah. A kodesh cheresh del kodesh can't be a shliach, so you're not yotze shalach manos if you send by time. Come on, the whole pressure. In the Miri Yeshiva, I remember when we were learning in the Yeshiva, so the rabbi, we had European rabbim, so they said, Miri Yeshiva, they had tainus against the Mishnah Berurah, why he quoted this pinyon to you. The Pashtun says, you invite people to your home, and you eat a meal. So that's how you, Ein Lecho Shalach Manos, God will say, you have to send the Shalach Manos to his home. The guy eats in your home, and you give him the food, so you're giving it directly, you don't need a shaliach. It's a difficult chumr, difficult chumr. And then even if you hold that you do need dafka shliach, so you're going to say that a katna is no good, how can you say that? A katna is no good when you need a din of shlichas that shlucha shalot and kemos. But here, if it'll be shlucha kemos, if I'll give it myself, I won't be yotze. I'm only yotze if I'll give like the shliach. So then you need a katna, then you need dafka bar shlichas, and Bar Avraham makes fun of it. He thinks even if you should accept the position, which is also kulachirish, if you're not yotze, if you give directly, you have to give like the shliach. But to say that shliach has to be a bar shliach, that's very difficult.
He was a mizrachis for the shtalar.
Okay, yes, that was unusual. Okay, the rest of Hilchas Purim, I assume everybody remembers from last year. A good given shiur. Okay, so this time we have to give time for discussion.
Time for questions. Anybody has questions, please. Everybody has questions. Chat and said with the Bob, they can do the question. No, I thought the Yitkes Dover was because of the Borum, and they put it really had nothing to do with Tuma. So I didn't understand that why the Yitkes Dover helps if it's because they were Gozer, they should be Tuma
So the guys at Tomala you dine. Good. Okay.
And so it doesn't help that you washed a minute before because you just
no because of the
when you eat bread.
It was touching was the intestine because they didn't want to put the food with the klavim. They have aquarium. So right. You just kind of time you touch it, your hands can get a tummy.
That's correct. The hands will become tummy, but then there's another din. Also, lech a sefer Torah arm. You're not allowed to hold the sefer Torah with your bare hands. So, what is that based on? So, not to show yourself body body. That's what we usually assume. So, the Mordechai assumed that's not the pshat. Because the reason why you're not allowed to touch sefer Torah arm because Stam Yadayim Askani is saying that's a bizoyon. That's why. But if you wash your hands in advance, then he reads in the Gemara, then there wouldn't be a prohibition of touching the sefer Torah arm. It will be mitamis ayadayim. It's not going to help. The fact that I wash my hands when I touch the Sefer Torah will still be Metamis Ayadayim. But it will be permissible to touch the Sefer Torah. There's no contradiction. It will be mutter to touch the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah will still be Metamis Ayadayim. Correct. What you say is still correct.
You know what you're saying, according to that, at night, where there's no chiyuv on the Kriya, so it became late, according to Staroff, that fact it was really not a din to be Kore at night, but with the fact that you could be mako by reading the first couple of psukim, even though you're not reading from a complete. You said.
Pashta says like that opinion in the Mishnah Berurah. Even in the daytime, if I come a minute late, I say the brachos and I say the first two psukim, and then I hear the rest from the Baal Kore. Yeah. The Pashta says that chisar missing chilasa is a problem. That's only in the heft of the Megillah missing. So if the Megillah has everything written, I just missed the first thing. I read the first two psukim from a printed chumash. Pashtun says that's not a problem. Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions, but the Pashtun says it's not a problem.
It's based at the end on the Seres Bnei Yonah. So is each line counted separately? Not you don't take the whole thing one. But less than one of the names is short of value. You don't take each line separately.
Probably, yeah. But usually, in most of the Megillahs, it's such a tiny space, it's not at all.
The whole thing, people repeat it like it's one of the psukim to repeat. I'm not sure that's right.
Right, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch makes fun of that practice, okay. That the Baal Kori lets everybody say. It's safe in the Ragat Shavit that he defended the mini. That's it, the Gemara says you have to say it together. So Yotze Shemer Kaina, Yotze the Kriya, but you're not Yotze B'Neshima Achas. So that's why the Minig developed that everybody says. And then he said that's why the Minig developed that you put in big letters. Because Tosfos asks, how come in the Birchas Haftarah on Shabbos morning is printed in the Chumash Ne'emah, how come it's printed the word Ne'emah in big letters? That's not the beginning of a bracha. You don't see a main. When the Baal Mafter says the line before, that's the Ne'emah is the middle of a bracha. Why is it in big letters? The Tosfos writes in Arab Psachim, it's a big letters because the minig, the Zman HaTalmud, was that everybody would chime in. All the people in the shul would chime in together with the Baal Mafter. Everyone says Elan Nemar. Ochorlo Yoshuv Reikam. Everybody says. Then he says Kikel Melech Nemar Rachmanata. He says that. But everybody said along. So Taisa says he put it in big letters as an indication everybody should say along. So the Ragachava said, that's why they ask Kapela, who said the Aseres Bnei Haman is supposed to be in big letters? Where did that come from? So the Ragachava said, no, it's in big letters, meaning that everybody should say along with the Valkyrie.
And the reason again for that, I didn't catch it, because...
because we're not Yotze, Shemei Kaina only transfers that we're Yotze the Kriyas HaPsukim, but you're not Yotze the Neshima Achas.
But you know what
they're
saying.
Like you should
like
say the Neshima Achas. Yeah, share
it. So we learned this morning in the tour that a person who's an Eino Baki, so he's listening to the Shliach Tzibur doing Chazar Sashas. So Shliach Tzibur is mostly in the Shalosh Pesidos. So the same week, we mostly went through the Neshima Achas.
Neshima Achas, yeah, the Pashtus is like that. Whenever you yotze with someone else, you yotze everything. That's everything.
Could Rebbe explain, I didn't catch, about the spaces by, you know, what's proper and what's not proper by the Aseres Bnei Haman?
I think I have three Megillas at home that I was given as a gift by three different institutions. It was guest of honor in three different places. So all three of them are no good. All three of them. It doesn't have enough space in between.
In between what?
In between Vaizasa, Parshandasa, the Ace. They're supposed to have twice, the space should be twice as long as the letters.
Which letters?
The Ace is three letters, and Parshandasa is, I don't know, eight letters. The eight and three is 11.
Letters between each
letter? No, 11 letters.
22 letters. The letters are 11 letters. Parshandasa is, let's say, eight letters.
There should be a space. In other words, the Ace is a three-letter word.
And Parshandasa, let's say, is eight letters. So eight and three is 11. Okay. So if you have a space of 22.
Where should that space be?
In between Parshandasa and the Ace.
Between the two words.
In between the two words. And they don't have it, like most of the beginners don't have enough of a space. They want it to be cheap, they want it to save money. So they have a very small space.
Where does that halacha arise from? Where does that halacha come from?
The Gemara says that in a Sefer Torah, some things have to be written like a poem. Az Yashir and Hazinu. So you have Ariach HaGabi Levein, Levein HaGabi Rav. So you have lines, you have empty spaces. Then the next line, you have words written under the empty space. Then the next line, you have words written under the empty space, not on in Aseres Bnei Haman. You just have words not under words in the middle, because they had a mapala. When you build a wall, so you don't put the bricks directly on top of each other. You put one layer of bricks like this, then the other layer of bricks. You have from the middle of this brick to the middle of the other brick that it should hold. Aseres Bnei Haman, they didn't hold. They fell apart. They all collapsed. They were killed. So we want to show we should write it in such a way to indicate that had a mapala, nothing was mechazik anything else. But that's a Gemara. Then the Gemara says, and you should have an empty space in between. So Rashi says, how much of an empty space? Twice the amount of letters that are on the two sides. So the Pashim Shat Parshandosa is eight letters, I think, or something like that. And then the Ace is three letters, so it's 11. Wow. So you should have an empty space of 22 letters.
So it's a Rashi, you're saying. It's a Rashi.
The Mishnah Berurah quotes it from Rashi.
So the column is much larger than the rest of the Megillah. That column is larger than the rest of the Megillah.
Much larger.
I don't know.
Well, larger, certainly larger.
Must be very few Megillahs.
They have 22 letters.
Letter columns. It's going to be 30 letters. 22 in between the lines.
That's the word.
22 is going to be 33. 33 letters.
You have to have 30
in between lines. In between lines, the letters. The other between the lines. But
it's supposed to be the same space. The common practice is that they write them in big letters and throw them up there for that, and then they leave big lines in between. Leave a big line, that's like putting a psukha in. You're not supposed to put a psukha where it doesn't belong. So you're supposed to put it on the ground, that the whole thing is wrong. That you should. There is no such halacha that you write. Aseres Bnei Haman takes up a whole column. If you have a column, how many lines are there usually? 30 lines? So you said 10 of the line should be Aseres Bnei Haman, and then you have another 20 lines writing other things.
But usually they write the Aseres Bnei Haman in bigger letters.
So the
Golden
Rabbi was opposed to the bigger letters. He says, no such masara. Then he was opposed to leaving empty spaces in between. There's no masara. He put an empty line in between, so it's like a psucha where it didn't belong. So he holds that you should write, let's say the column has 30 lines, so 10 out of the 30 lines should have a Aseres Bnei Haman written normally, Parshan Dasari, no empty space, no big letters, and then you have another 20 lines on the column. So the Hayyadim says that there are those who want to be Yotzei, the Vilna Goyen's Kpeda, and they want to be Yotzei the Minik Olam, so they have a Megillah that only has 11 lines. The whole Megillah only has 11 lines. So Aseres Bnei Haman is the same as the rest, only has 11 lines. I think it's 11 lines, not 10 lines, 11 lines. That's to be choshish for the normal going shita, the choshish for the mini goylam, that Aseres Bnei Haman should take up a whole column, so none of the columns should have more than 11 lines.
In the case where you come late, there was another possibility that Isha doesn't have a kriya to read as you hear the bracha, read the bracha itself, and hear the first at the same time. So to read the, hear the bracha, and hear the psukim, read the bracha at the same time.
Say the bracha is why you're listening.
Yeah. There's a possibility. There's no chiv kriya for an isha. So
you have to have shmiya. You have to. She has to pay attention.
No, but that might be a good shmiya because you're still hearing it.
So when you're here, when you want to be yotzei with someone else, to be a shofar, a bracha, whatever, you're not allowed to talk.
Right, but Charity and Sesame, that's only because of the vowel of your lashon. When you don't have a theme to say it, so there's a possibility, some discussed, that maybe here should be good.
I don't know. Big Kiddush.
Okay.
Two questions. One is, according to, I guess, the Mitzvah, when we're talking about Lishno Sabayo, would there be anyone who would hold that for some reason didn't hear it at night, you should hear it twice in the daytime?
No. In fact, it says the ger is in this guy here late at night. How do you have a ger at night? It didn't need a bedroom for ger.
Yeah.
So funny, in Magen Avraham quotes, I think, on Gor's Maimon, the ger is in this guy here late at night. He doesn't have to read the Megillah at night. Let him just read Bayom, because the Ikki Kriya is Bayom. That's very strange. No.
I used to have a very late Megillah reading in my house for people who worked at night or whatever. I got an interesting crew. Anyway, once I had 10 if I counted the women who came and didn't have 10 men. Should I have made the bracha of Aravis Rivena?
The Rambam says no. We only say Aravis Rivena if you know you have 10 men. Because it's a machlokes where the women count for this purpose. You suffer, you don't say.
If you're reading for one Isha, they probably won't stay away for the whole Kriya. It's better not to make the brachas in such a case, because you're already Yotzi, and the Isha mayor probably won't be awake unless they're for the whole thing.
Probably should not say the brachas. Okay. I'll wake her up.
No, but I'm saying it's an older lady. You know that they're in and out.
That's a problem, yeah.
You're not concentrating on the Homa Gila. You're hearing the words. Your head is like someplace else.
The Mishnah says that even if a person doesn't understand Hebrew and he hears the Megillah in Hebrew, he's also not, he doesn't know b'chla what's going on. He just knows that this Megillah tells the story of Purim. So that is Yotze, even though obviously his mind is wandering. He doesn't know Hebrew. He just knows the story of Purim from school.
What does Mordechai get? Again, did he have to have a suda at night? I think we quoted the Mordechai. Do you have a suda at night? Where did that come from?
The Gemara says suda sponcha saw balayla lo yotzei. The Devosa says the Mordechai interprets it's not sufficient. Just like Shabbos Yom, we need achas bayam achas balayla. The Purim is not sufficient balayla. You have to achas bayam achas balayla. So those who follow that Mordechai had the practice to have pleshik balayla also. I remember one Rebbe we had in Yeshiva married a Bas Tam Chacham, Rabbi Fishman, married a European woman, and he said his wife's practice from her father's family was, her parents' family was, that they had a fleshig meal balayla. He said his family never had fleshig meal b'leil Purim. But his wife had such a practice, so fine. So he went along, said they had fleshig b'yom balayla. That's to be choshish for that opinion, that you have to have a suda balayla and a suda b'yom. That's the question. If can you be yotze with a katan? So the pashtus says that yes.
Pashtus says that okay, because the doorman is the regular shliach.
Yeah, yeah. Pashtus says there's no halacha that you need a shliach. The common practice is you send a katan. You send a katan.
That's the
minigamah. You should wash, yeah. Without a problem.